Welcome to Today on Broadway for Tuesday, November 15th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini. 24 hours after wishing The Lion King a happy 19th anniversary on Broadway, we are now congratulating the longest-running American musical in Broadway history as the current revival of the John Kander and Fred Ebb musical Chicago celebrates two decades on Broadway. This is really amazing, and even though the show has become a bit of a cliche for many theater aficionados, I think every time you see it, whether it's on Broadway or on tour, you're reminded of just how special and brilliant this production is. So congratulations to everyone who's been a part of the show, either on stage or backstage from the beginning and, you know, all that jazz. As a reminder, before we get into the news, Fathom Events is bringing the Benedict Cumberbatch production of Hamlet back to movie theaters nationwide tonight. The production played London's famed Barbican Theatre last year, and I missed it when it hit the U.S. movie theaters last year, so I'm incredibly excited that I'm going to get a second chance to see it tonight. It'll be a little bit of a Cumberbatch double feature for me, as I saw Doctor Strange over the weekend. Good, solid B-plus Marvel movie. We will have a link to the Fathom website so that you can see where it's playing in your neck of the woods. And if you go, tweet me at BWWMatt and let me know how many people are in the audience where you are. I'm always interested to see how these Fathom events and theatrical productions and movie theaters play across the country. Okay, as predicted, now that producers and press reps are over the post-election malaise, Monday brought a significant uptick in substantial theater news. First is the fact that the hit West End comedy, The Play That Goes Wrong, will be coming to Broadway's Lyceum Theater beginning on March 9th of next year. It'll officially open the following month on April 2nd, and special $25 pre-sale tickets are now available in all orchestra and front mezzanine seats, and $15 balcony seats are available during all previews. Co-written by Mischief Theater Company members Henry Lewis, Jonathan Sayer, and Henry Shields, The Play That Goes Wrong is a riotous comedy about the theater. The play introduces the Cornley Polytechnic Drama Society, who are attempting to put on a 1920s murder mystery, but as the title suggests, everything that can go wrong does, as the accident-prone thespians battle on against all the odds to get to their final curtain call. Obviously, this sounds very much in the vein of Noises Off without the rotating set, but this play has done incredibly well in London. It premiered in 2012, and after a stop at the Trafalgar Studios in 2013, it opened at the West End's Duchess Theatre in September of 2014, where it continues to run to this day. The show also won the 2015 Olivier for Best Comedy, which should be exciting because the original West End cast will be making the move to New York for the Broadway premiere. The show's two big-name producers are Kevin McCollum, who obviously has a pretty nice track record on stage, and a guy named J.J. Abrams, who pretty much owns television and film. He's responsible for such hits on TV as Felicity, Alias, Lost, Fringe, Person of Interest, and Westworld, and on the big screen, he's the man behind the current Mission Impossible, Star Trek, and Star Wars franchises. Can you tell I'm a little bit of a J.J. Abrams fanboy? So while this isn't exactly the most obvious property to bring him to the theater for the first time, Abrams said, "I have been a fan of theater my whole life. Embarrassingly, I still have every playbill from the very first shows my grandmother took me to. When I saw The Play That Goes Wrong on the West End, I hadn't laughed that hard, seen something as preposterously absurd or wonderfully hilarious in ages. To be part of the team bringing this inspired comedy to Broadway is a true honor. Whatever happens, I'm saving the playbill." Good for you, JJ. And according to my handy-dandy spreadsheet, not counting any potential closures coming up in the future, that leaves just three Broadway houses open for the spring: the Hudson, Studio 54, and the Walter Kurse. We'll see what, if anything, moves into those Broadway theaters. One Broadway house that is likely not going to be open anytime soon is the Imperial Theater, where, as you likely know by now, the Ars Nova production of Natasha Pierre and the Great Comet of 1812 opened on Broadway last night. Created by Dave Malloy and directed by Rachel Chavkin, this immersive-ish theater production tells a story pulled from 70 pages of Tolstoy's epic doorstop, War and Peace. The show marks the Broadway debut of both Malloy and Chavkin, in addition to 24 cast members, including the titular pair played by Grammy-nominated recording star Josh Groban and Danae Benton. Much like it did in both of its off-Broadway incarnations, The Great Comet got really, really strong reviews on Monday night. The New York Times' Charles Isherwood wrote, "The Imperial Theater, where the rapturous musical Natasha Pierre and The Great Comet of 1812 blazed open on Monday night, has never looked more imperial or felt more intimate. Who would have guessed that Dave Malloy's gorgeous pop opera, adapted from a slice of Tolstoy's War and Peace, would land on Broadway with all its signal virtues intact, referencing a previous New York Times article about the show, and in some ways heightened. Time Out New York's Adam Feldman gave the production 5 stars, saying, "The miracle of the Broadway version of The Great Comet is how well it preserves the spirit of the show's much smaller 2012 production at Off-Broadway's invaluable Ars Nova. The ensemble has been greatly expanded and the two leads are different. Danae Benton brings a youthful impetuousness to the role of Natasha, a beautiful young girl who is drawn into a dangerous affair, and Josh Groban plays the melancholy, desolate Pierre with intensity and a simply ravishing voice. But most of the original cast is intact, including Lucas Steele as Natasha's callow suitor, a ripe Grace McLean as her judgmental godmother, and the fascinating Amber Gray as Pierre's sexy, self-indulgent wife. Brittain Ashford brings down the house with a heartbreaking solo as Natasha's best friend." One of the few critical dissenters is Leah Greenblatt from Entertainment Weekly. She wrote, "The staging is remarkable considering all its moving parts, and the gifted young ensemble, often cycling at full tilt through multiple roles, earn every ounce of sweat and confetti. But the end result feels a little too much like zero-calorie entertainment. Well, not counting the pierogi. Brisk and sexy and emotionally weightless. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention, they serve you pierogies at the Imperial, much like they did in the more immersive previous productions." Now, we will have a link to all of the reviews in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. But of course, as always, if you go see the show, feel free to tweet us or send us an email or find us on Facebook and let us know what you think of the production. Remember over the summer when Scott Rudin blamed Audra McDonald's pregnancy for the closure of Shuffle Along? Well, it looks like that might have been a bit of a ploy to recoup some insurance money. Last week, the show's producers sued famed insurance company Lloyd's of London for refusing to cover the show's losses. According to Forbes, the Broadway show had taken out 2 insurance policies, totaling $14 million, to mitigate the risk that an illness or accident would prevent Audra from performing or force the entire production to be abandoned. These contracts are pretty common on Broadway, especially with big names above the title, but the insurance policy states that the producers will be reimbursed for their losses in the event that the show needs to be abandoned due to the death, accident, or illness of Audra McDonald, and Lloyd's is claiming that a pregnancy does not qualify. Forbes gets into some of the legal arguments that both sides are arguing, so you can check out that link in the show notes, but some of them include the producers saying that the 45-year-old McDonald committed to performing the show for 52 non-consecutive weeks, so clearly the pregnancy was an accident. Ouch. On the other hand, Lloyd's of London is saying that with 10 Tony nominations and other Tony winners in the cast, the show didn't actually have to close. The insurer said, "By virtue of the all-star cast, Miss McDonald's temporary absence does not appear fatal to the show's continued success." Lloyd's has a few weeks before it has to officially file an answer to the complaint, but I have a feeling that this is going to be a legal case that's going to be watched by a very wide and diverse group of interested parties across Broadway. Now let's take a look at last week's Broadway grosses. Last week, The Great White Way's 32 shows pulled in $28,880,202, up 13.8% from the previous week. Hamilton, listen to this, believe it or not, Hamilton had its best week ever, grossing nearly $2,453,000 across 8 performances. It was followed by The Lion King, Wicked, Aladdin, The Book of Mormon, The Front Page, School of Rock, Great Comet, and Kristen Chenoweth's My Love Letter to Broadway above $1 million. Cheno's total is pretty impressive considering she only did 6 shows. It would have been nice if she could have extended that limited 2-week run a little further into the holidays, but alas, the show has now closed. A Bronx Tale did a respectable $688,000 on 7 previews last week, while In Transit seemed to paper quite a bit in its first week, grossing only $181,000 on 5 performances. Kinky Boots had its best week since mid-March, grossing over $888,000 in Todd Recall's 2nd week in Lola's Shoes. In other good news, Roundabout's Holiday Inn broke the $500,000 mark for the first time, grossing $563,605. After that strange summer that we've talked about many times throughout the year, the fall continues to be a bit stronger than we're used to seeing, especially as we get close to the holiday tourist season. Now for some show and casting news. Yesterday it was announced that Glenn Close will be reunited with her co-stars from the English National Opera for the Broadway revival of Sunset Boulevard when it begins performances on February 2nd. It isn't an incredible surprise, considering that the show is only scheduled for 1 week of previews, so you kind of figured that most of the cast will have had some experience with the show before. Michael Xavier will play Joe Gillis, Siobhan Dillon will play Betty Schaefer, and Fred Johansen will play Max. Additional casting will be announced shortly. Due to popular demand, Oh Hello on Broadway has extended its engagement by 1 week to Sunday, January 15th of 2017. This will be the final chance for audiences to catch Nick Kroll and John Mulaney's inexplicably popular alter egos, Gil Faison and George St. Geegland, in their, quote, acclaimed masterpiece. One of the cool things about this production, because it is part scripted, part improvised, what they do is Gil and George have a cable access show called Too Much Tuna. This has been a bit that they've been doing for over a decade now. And recent guests who've come over to the Lyceum to be guests on Too Much Tuna have been Will Ferrell, Tina Fey, Stephen Colbert, Alan Alda, F. Murray Abraham, Jason Sudeikis, Seth Meyers, Aziz Ansari, Cuba Gooding Jr., Whoopi Goldberg, John Oliver, Jason Alexander, Geraldo Rivera. Which of these things is not like the other? Anyway, Edie Falco, Andrew Rannells, Jesse Eisenberg, Josh Groban, and Conan O'Brien. So, with an extra week, you never know who's going to show up to be a guest on Too Much Tuna. And to wrap up today's show, Disney has finally released an official trailer for their upcoming live-action-ish adaptation of Beauty and the Beast. The two-minute trailer debuted on Good Morning America yesterday. And while I am not a Disney or Beauty and the Beast diehard, I gotta say, it's pretty beautiful. As is often the case with these movie musical trailers, nary a bit of singing was featured, although I think everyone at this point understands that Beauty and the Beast is a musical. So we'll have that trailer embedded in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com, so please go ahead and check that out and let us know what you think. All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. You can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt and subscribe to Something Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Have a great Tuesday, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.